The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. The reading can be found on page 693 in the Church Bibles or page 1230 in the large print version. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we've just said that what we've heard is the word of the Lord, and we want to pray for your grace to hear the word of the Lord afresh. Give us understanding, we pray, and joy at what we see. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, these readings from Isaiah are great promises looking ahead to the coming of the Messiah. And if it was not for the unfortunate connotations this week, I would probably have described Isaiah 9 as a party political broadcast, a manifesto about a coming ruler. In Isaiah, we have some great messianic passages. Chapter 7, born of a virgin, Emmanuel, God with us. Chapter 11, next week, we'll see what the kingdom's going to be like, a new heavens and a new earth. But this morning, we're looking at the Messiah's person. Well, just before chapter 9, we're told just how wretched the situation was in that nation. Chapter 8, verse 22, then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they'll be thrust into utter darkness. Terrible picture, distress. Goes on, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and muster, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? There's no light of a dawn appearing because they're ignoring the word of God. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, when men cease to believe in God, they'll not believe in nothing, they'll believe in anything. And we've seen that in Britain in the last decades. People just absorb all sorts of things which are incongruous and even make no sense and provide no light. Thinking of France, do you know that there are now more licensed mediums in France than there are Roman Catholic clergy. And go on any bus or train, and people look, don't they, at their horoscopes. Rather than looking to God, they look to horoscopes made up, things which have no value at all. That's true of Wargrave and our whole country. Darkness. Isaiah says, we see only despair and darkness and fearful gloom. And then chapter 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the shadow of death. A light has dawned. Confusion, bewilderment, deception. People unsure what's happening, so they fear. And friends, our nation at the moment, there is great despair. You sense that in all the conversations we have. I think young people especially, those under 25, have particular despair as they look to the future. But perhaps many of us do as well. Later on, it came out in a diary of Billy Graham's that he had been asked in the late 50s to go and see Winston Churchill. And he went to see him. And think about what Churchill did. He was a great leader for us in so many ways. But he was very desperate to see Dr. Graham. So Billy wrote back saying, dear Mr. Churchill, I'd like to come and see you, but I can't come on any of the evenings I'm speaking. But may I come for coffee with you? And so he turned up for coffee with Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill unburdened himself to Billy Graham. And Graham writes this in his diary. I explained I did not feel qualified to speak on affairs of state. And then he recalls that Winston Churchill said this, I quote, as I look around at the world today, I see no hope. And then three more times, groaning, Churchill said, I see no hope. I see no hope. I see no hope. Well, Dr. Graham went on to explain to Churchill that the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was where proper hope was to be found. And we need to do that ourselves. Let's take these opportunities of Christmas to make sure that those who are in darkness hear the good news. Well, let's get back to chapter 9, verse 1, because we're told there, nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those past who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and in the future, he'll honour Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. Zebulun and Naphtali was the northern point where always the invasions came from. And Galilee, that's the place, was where Jesus came from. He was known as Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus from Galilee. He was never known as Jesus of Bethlehem. And what we're offered is a glorious picture. Yes, there's distress, but instead there'll be love and joy. Yes, there's darkness, but instead there'll be light. Yes, there's despair, but instead there'll be hope. And the pledge here is that this government will deliver. Why believe this manifesto? It's because of the divine credentials of the king to be born. First, he was a wonderful counselor. Yes, born a child, grew up as a human being, but also a wonderful counselor, says Isaiah. Unparalleled wisdom. And Isaiah, in the chapter surrounding, mocks the foolishness of men and women who run after all the things which provide no answers. And yes, what happened when Jesus started speaking? The first thing people noticed about him was his wisdom. A wonderful counselor. Second thing, he's mighty God. Supernatural strength to deal with enemies. Think about the Advent hope of Christ's return, when all those principalities and enemies will meet him as judge. And yes, supernatural strength. And so often some people can be very wise, but they haven't got the power to implement their wisdom. And yet, we know he was that mighty ruler, his miracles. Then think about his death and resurrection, never to die again. Third, he's the everlasting Father. The King to be born is the eternal God of infinite care and compassion. He's wise, he's powerful, he's loving and caring. And Father is the Christian name for God, but also it occurs sometimes in the Old Testament. Yes, a revelation of the fatherhood of the eternal Creator. Fourth, the Prince of Peace. Because he's so wise and powerful and loving, he can bring about the ultimate act of deliverance. Perhaps someone says, John, what do you mean by that? Well, how would that be achieved? Paul puts it like this in Colossians 1, verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The peace of Christmas is peace with God. Yes, there is so much distress and despair and darkness. Perhaps you sense that yourself, or perhaps you did before you became a Christian believer. We sense that because we're not right with God. And actually, all that despair and darkness and distress is only dealt with by Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He has a right to be in government. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on, and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is in government. And to use an old phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ holds each portfolio. If you like, he's the first lord of a treasury. He's a prime minister. He's a chancellor. He holds the purse strings. He's a home secretary, gives personal discipline. He's defence secretary, weapons for warfare he provides. He's a foreign secretary, he has responsibility for good relations with others. Every part is his by right. And that government won't fail, and all his promises will be fulfilled. Is this king my king? Is he your king? Christmas is not about cooing around a crib, but rededicating ourselves to his government. Christmas isn't just about coming to carol services, but rather seeing the credentials, the manifesto of Christ, born to be our Saviour. Whom else can we go? For he has the words of eternal life. And the question for us this morning is, when it comes to your own life, does he hold a portfolio for every area of your life? Is his government resting on you? Historically, eternally, here is a true ruler who alone can change life for each one of us if we will but look to him. May Christmas light up even more, because in the darkness, here's the one who brings true light. Amen.
So please.